Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party Book. I opened with something solemn, like Faith of Our Fathers, because we need to rekindle the faith of our fathers, and also because my brother sent me some stats on the Vietnam War, so I figured I would make this show a tribute to all the Vietnam vets. Those who were wounded in battle, both physically and mentally, and those who were spit on when they came home by communists who won the war at Woodstock, and how these poor bastards were all stabbed in the back, and very few people stood up to defend them. We had other things to do. We were too busy while they shed their blood for us. And I also want to spit on a Bruce Springsteen with his song Born in the USA, and where he, one line in the song, they were sent to Vietnam to kill the yellow man. Bruce Springsteen, may you burn in hell for that. You've got blood on your hands, you money-hungry sucker face. So, having said that, casually, I'm going to give you some stats on the Vietnam War. A little history most people will never know. Interesting veterans statistics off the Vietnam Memorial War. How many names on the wall? 58,267 now listed on that black polished wall, including those added in 2010. The names are arranged in the order in which they were taken from us by date, and within each date the names are alphabetized. It is hard to believe that it is 36 years since the last casualties. The first known casualty was Richard B. Fitzgibbon of North Weymouth, Massachusetts, listed by the U.S. Department of Defense as having been killed on June 8, 1956. His name is listed on the wall with that of his son, Marine Corps Lance Corporal Richard B. Fitzgibbon, Illinois, who was killed on September the 7th, 1965. These are three sets of fathers and sons on the wall. 39,996 on the wall were just 22 years old or younger. 8,283 were just 19 years old. The largest age group, 33,103, were 18 years old. 12 soldiers on the wall were 17 years old. 5 soldiers on the wall were 16 years old. One soldier, PFC Dan Bullock, was 15 years old. 997 soldiers were killed on their first day in Vietnam. 1,448 soldiers were killed on their last day in Vietnam. 31 sets of brothers are on the wall. 31 sets of parents lost two of their sons. 54 soldiers attended Thomas Edison High School in Philadelphia. I wonder why so many from one school. There's a guy I know that was a Vietnam vet, and he said that most of his class in Staten Island in McKee High School went to Vietnam. 244 soldiers were awarded the Medal of Honor during the Vietnam War. 153 of them are on the wall. Beesville, Ohio, with a population of 475, lost 6 of her sons. West Virginia had the highest casualty rate per capita in the nation. There are 711 West Virginians on the wall. The Marines of Modern Sai, they led some of the scrappiest high school football and basketball teams that the little Arizona copper town of Modern Sai, a population 5,058, had ever known and cheered. They enjoyed roaring beer busts in quieter moments. They rode horses along the Coronado Trail, stalked deer, the Apache National Forest, and in the patriotic camaraderie typical of Morenci's mining families, the 9 graduates of Morenci High School enlisted as a group in the Marine Corps. Their service began on Independence Day, 1966. Only 3 returned home. The Buddies of Midville, Leroy Tafoya, Jimmy Martinez, and Tom Gonzalez were all boyhood friends and lived on 3 consecutive streets in Midvale, Utah, on 5th, 6th, and 7th Avenues. They lived only a few yards apart. They played ball at the adjacent sandlot ball field, and they all went to Vietnam. In a span of 16 dark days in late 1967, all 3 would be killed. Leroy was killed on Wednesday, November the 22nd, the 4th anniversary of JFK's assassination. Jimmy died less than 24 hours later on Thanksgiving Day. Tom was shot dead assaulting the enemy on December the 7th, Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. The most casualty deaths for a single day in Nam was on January 31st, 1968, 245 dead. The most casualty deaths for a single month was May 1968. 2,415 casualties were incurred. For most Americans who read this, they will only see the numbers that the Vietnam War created. To those who survived the war and to the families of those who did not, we see the faces, we feel the pain that these numbers created. We are, until we too pass away, haunted with these numbers because they were our friends, fathers, husbands, wives, sons, and daughters. There are no noble wars, just noble warriors. Please pass this on, which I have done. So, that's something to think about. And I would add to that, Democrats get you into war and they leave you to die on the battlefield, promising never to run again. And you can look at Nam, it was all on Democratic time until they asked Nixon to bail them out. And the only way Nixon could bail them out was he threatened to bomb Hanoi. And that should have been done on the first day of the war. It is easy, and that was during the draft. All these guys, a lot of these guys were drafted. Of course, now you also have a president that was a draft dodger. See how low we have fallen? The sacrifice of all of those guys was washed out by Bill Clinton, the draft dodger. So, having said that, I still have to finish my salute to all the guys who suffered in Nam and all the guys who suffered today for coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan with more than one gun to their head. It must be very hard for you guys. I don't know how you do it, but I will tell you this. God will help you. And never forget him because he's not forgetting you. So, having said that, let me see if I can find something decent to honor you guys.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party.
Nope, that isn't it. We're not ready to party yet. We're not ready to party yet.
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me?
Will you leave yourself behind if I but call your name? Will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? Will you rip the husk of death should your life attract or scare? Will you let me answer prayer in you and you?
Let the blind this unseen and admit to what I mean in you and you.
Okay, we're back. Remember the vets. And just remember, they've been where you haven't been, and they've experienced what you haven't experienced. And there's nothing that you can do that... except love them and understand them and help them all you can. Okay, let's see what happens here. We got a few headlines. Obama doubts Russian retreat in Ukraine, threatens tougher sanctions. He's going to play the race card on them. Rand Paul experiences first speed bumps as 2016 front runner. His international philosophy may be a deterrent. Obama applicants get a new deadline. This is like the line in the sand. He's got the red line in his coloring book and the line in the sand. Here's the article I was looking for. This one's going to upset you. Sailors leaving the Navy over stress on social issues, Top Gun instructor says. This is by Rowan Scarborough, The Washington Times. A Navy F-18 fighter pilot and former Top Gun instructor is publicly warning admirals that retention is beginning to suffer from the military's relentless social conditioning of programs. Commander Guy Snodgrass, until recently a Pentagon speechwriter for the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Jonathan Greenert, said sailors are becoming fed up with the constant emphasis on social issues, an apparent reference to gays in the military, women in combat, and ending a sexual harassment. You know, there was a guided missile, a ship that was boarded by somebody that disarmed the guard on duty and then killed another MP before they were killed. And I'm dying to see that story and who it was and what went on. So maybe when I play a tune, I'll try and find it. And the other thing that comes to mind is Jimmy from Brooklyn called me to tell me that he was listening to Mike Savage, and Mike Savage said that there's more corruption now in the government than at the time of Warren Harding. And Jimmy reminded me that Warren Harding is the only president that rounded up communists and deported them. Yeah, and there was a time when there was a communist revolution in this country, and we don't hear about it. So I got to do some investigating, and I will enlighten you as I become enlightened. Sailors continue to cite the over-focus on social issues. Oh, also see Obama to kill Navy's Tomahawk and Hellfire missile programs in budget decimation. Boy, they got plenty of money for Communist Party sessions. They got plenty of money for us. I wonder where all the school money goes. You don't think they're arming another army, a secret army. A fact that demoralizes junior and mid-grade officers alike. Commander Snodgrass wrote this month in the U.S. Naval Institute website, well, he won't be there too much longer, an independent forum for active and retired sailors and Marines. It is a remarkable frank assessment from an upwardly mobile a fighter pilot who is due to become the executive officer of an F-18 unit in Japan. He says, one troubling sign that has emerged, a drop in applications to the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis last year. The U.S. Navy has a looming officer retention program, Commander Snodgrass writes, adding there is an erosion of trust in senior leadership. He says, retention racked up its worst year in history for the Special Warfare Committee, including Navy SEALs, with a record number of lieutenants declining to stay. The aviation side had a goal of 45% take rate on retention bonuses, but only got 36%. Unfortunately, Commander Snodgrass says in his 24-page study, the fact that a growing number of quality officers have already left the service or are planning to head for the doors seems to be going undetected by senior leadership. It is not undetected. It's the goal. His list long wartime deployments. He lists long wartime deployments as a leading retention negative. He also tackles a touchier issue which some sailors have referred to as political correctness, such as the banning of uniform patches that might offend someone. Commander Snodgrass writes, we're in trouble, folks, and they're decimating the Air Force, too. Commander Snodgrass writes of a recent shift within the Navy to eradicate behavior that is, by every nature, ineradicable. Put simply, there's no dollar amount that can be spent or amount of training that can be conducted that will completely eradicate complex issues such as suicide, sexual assaults, or commanding officer reliefs for cause. Yet, we continue to expend enormous resources in this pursuit. He says sailors are bombarded with annual online training, general military training, and safety stand-downs, all in an effort to combat problems that will never be defeated. They're spending all their money to faggotize the military. Some of the pressure comes from Congress, who never served in the military. The perception, you know who the Democrats' war heroes are? Charlie Rangel. Yeah, Charlie Rangel, who voted to burn the flag. Daniel Akaka, a war hero, was decorated as a war hero, turned Democrat, voted to burn the flag. The perception is that these efforts are not undertaken because they are incredibly effective, but rather because of significant political and public oversight, the commander says. The story continues. Would you like to hear what some of the responses are from the average John Doe? This guy's tag is George Washington, 1787. We have a corrupt, reckless, and out-of-control government. It is hell-bent on got to get rid of the lobbyists, folks. You can't have lobbies dealing with buying votes. Every lobbyist is buying a vote. And your vote, it doesn't, your pleas don't get listened to. They tell you to write your congressman. He ain't listening to you. You're not worth anything to him. He'd have your picture taken with you as you're begging for food, you know. And he'll be holding the spoon. And it'll be in the New York Times on the front page. New York Communist Times. We have a corrupt, reckless, and out-of-control government. It is hell-bent on destroying our economy, our children, and our health care. They are indoctrinating our children that America is an awful country and we are racist, bigots, and hate-filled. I wonder how Obama felt when he stood in front of all those Europeans and made a speech and he looked in the audience and there wasn't one black guy there. Huh? Did he play the race card on them? They no longer look to people based on merit, but based on gender, sexual preference, and color. It no longer matters if you are qualified or even care about the job you are doing. It is destroying our nation. And the guy underneath him says, you are insensitive and politically incorrect, but 100% accurate in your posting. My favorite president, by the way, as you know, he voluntarily relinquished the power of the presidency. He's talking about George Washington. After 8 years, when asked to stay on forever as a monarch, and of course his answer was, this baby nation, America, doesn't need a monarch. That's why we all fled Britain. Nathan Smith says, that was Steve McFadden, this is Nathan Smith, might I suggest that the grassroots Tea Party composed of American patriots is the vanguard for getting us off this path. And Joe Rogowski says, have you noticed the blindfold on the statues of Lady Justice made lately? The blindfold has eased off one eye and the other eye is completely unfettered to look at the radical and sexual makeup of the person being tried. Seeker Esquire 2 says, much more truth in these two sentences than meets the eye. Seeker 6 says, this is just what Obama wants. Here is proof in this factual movie, and he lists a link to a movie. Nothing short of revolution can change the path we're on. That we could very well be in a revolution, and that's why the first move that was made by the Communist Party was to seize the guns. And I guess they thought it was going to go smoother than it has. And now you got guys burning their gun registration forms, and everybody is going to become a felon. Well, last time I checked, I think there was like, I might be wrong on this figure. I think there was one gun for every American citizen. And that's going to be a lot of felons. So this guy says nothing short of revolution. Well, the first thing we should try before we go to revolution is impeachment. Not of the president, but of Eric Holder. That should be step one. Impeach Eric Holder. And if we succeed in impeaching Eric Holder, then we can consider impeachment proceedings against the president. Now, if this guy really goes radical Russian, then we're going to have a problem. Because then the cry will go out for revolution. And if the cry goes out for revolution, before we spill one drop of American blood, we should pocket our paychecks completely and not send any money to the government and break them first financially. And if we can't do that, then we're going to have no choice. We will be forced into a revolution because somebody's coming for your guns. Somebody's coming for your house. They got eminent domain. They're already, they're wiping out industries. You look at the EPA, they've destroyed more industry in this country and sent it all to China. They have built the Chinese economy by wiping out the industrial strength of the United States. They're feeding our enemies. So let me see what else it says. You can suggest it, but you are willing to share your reasoning for such a sweeping indictment. It is one thing to attack your opponent. It's another to justify your attack. I'll be curious to read your supply if you're up to the challenge. And Nathan Smith says, Saul Alinsky lists 8 areas the government must control in order to have a socialist state. They are all being pursued by this administration. The political establishment on both sides just want to keep their jobs. Thus, the Tea Party is on the solution. When you look at the Tea Party people, you know, Party of Death, the Democrat Party and Party de la Muerte, they labeled the Tea Party people as Nazis. Do you know who else uses that tactic? Putin. Putin used it to label the Ukrainians. And he went to rescue the Russians. He's a hero. Even if you may not like them, their main agenda is to fix the system. And they are certainly not socialist Marxists, and they believe in America. Very true. And their grandpas and grandmas, whose kids don't listen to them, because their kids are in the basement smoking pot until they're 26. And I can't get a job anywhere. I looked for 10 minutes. Who's standing on the corner? Oh, well, I'm up early this morning. There's 30 Mexicans standing on the corner. Oh, look, there's contractors' trucks coming by. Oh, all the Mexicans are all gone. What did they do today? Are they going on a picnic? Yeah, I say when we get overrun, you come out in the street and you'll see Russian tanks and Chinese MPs directing traffic, and everybody will think it's a parade. And King Lear says, it's time for veterans and Americans who truly care about this country to take up arms and oust the Kenyan usurper in the White House. Obama is a criminal piece of trash and has been hell-bent on destroying this country. He is not alone. He is not alone. Do not focus just on him. If you notice, all the focus is on Obama, and Hillary Clinton is stepping over to the, I'm on the good side. I'm clean. My hands are clean. I have no blood on my hands. Yeah, they're grooming her for the first woman president. Oh, man. Are we in trouble? We in trouble. You see, Obama's giving speeches in Europe, and everybody sitting in that audience hates his guts. And he doesn't realize it. He thinks he's educating them. He's talking to them about gay rights and racial abuse. Yeah. And they're looking at him. And go get a Belgian newspaper today and see what they did to him and his wife. It's really sad. They've got them on the front page looking like a Planet of the Apes. And that's what they're doing to our president, who did it to himself. And then they got another one, another picture of him by himself saying that he's a pot salesman. Yeah. That's what the Europeans think of Obama. You think the Germans consider Obama to be their equal? Do you think that the Russians consider Obama to be their equal? Do you think the British consider Obama to be their equal after he sent back the bust of Winston Churchill? Cyclone RS says, no, it is your case that has no case, but it does lead to the destruction of freedoms and the institution of a tyrannical government. Listen, the biggest revolution ever fought in the world was fought by Americans, and it was over taxes. That was the real reason. It was over taxes. And look at all the taxes you pay today. Just look at your Verizon bill, which we have seen grow over the past 15 years, which tyranny has its roots in the progressive movements of the 1900s, which is a form of the rule of the elites, like the Bolsheviks and the Maoists. Yes, we're learning, you know what, in order to learn American history and how we're going to survive, you got to learn Russian history. communist history. They're in every country in the world. Their biggest competitor is the Catholic Church, and they want to take it down in the worst way. They already shot one pope. Oh, no, that wasn't it. Yeah, and this pope came out today. He fired a cardinal in Germany for wasting $43 million to build a monument to himself. And I checked the blogs, and the first thing that comes out, the communists are always there to get the first five blogs. You go to the Huffington Post, you'll see. Any topic covered by the Huffington Post, the first five blogs are always a communist. And then down you'll find a guy with reason. And all the blogs are pedophile priests. They're all attacking the Catholic Church for the pedophile priests, like there's no pedophiles anywhere else. Yes, it's our biggest sin, and we're paying for it. And you know how we're paying for it? Good people are not coming. And the reason good people are not coming is the communists are stopping them and filling their heads up full of hatred. It is really sad. And never forget, communist means atheist, so they have no God. And here's boots on the ground saying, no, only in our children and grandchildren's time. No loss at all for people who think of their own personal gratification at the destruction of future civilization. Just ask a Caligula. So, I've given you a little bit of insight. And from the Washington Times, and now about sailors leaving, and you haven't heard the beginning of this. Wait till the horror stories start coming out. You're not going to believe it. Let's see if we got a tune for you that will perk you up. Yeah, that's pretty good. Let me see if I got the right one. It is really sad that we wasted all those lives in Nam. And everybody always wonders, what would JFK pull the troops out? We didn't do good. We didn't do good by our own people. And when I hear Bruce Springsteen being called the boss, and he sang that Born in the USA, and nobody knows any other line but Born in the USA, Born in the USA. And then this guy sings, we were sent to Nam to kill the yellow man. There's a hate speech song. Those guys went to Nam to save South Vietnam from suffering the same fate as all of China. Yeah. We went to Korea to save South Korea. Did we go there to kill the yellow man? You know how many yellow men we left there to die because the Democrats got cold feet? They were afraid of losing elections back home? Terrible. Terrible, the price that we paid. I think that Bruce Springsteen should be arrested. Sergeant.
You're under arrest. Sergeant, read this man his merengue rights.
Para aquellos que se quejan tanto, para aquellos que solo critican, para aquellos que usan las armas, para aquellos que nos contaminan, para aquellos que hacen la guerra, para aquellos que viven pecando, para aquellos que nos maltratan, para aquellos que nos contagian.
Oh, that was it. Okay, I thought I was going to get time to grab another tune here. Let's see what we got. We got to give you something, man. We got to make your day here. How can we make your day? How about uniting the country? How about we overturn the destroyers of freedom? How about we don't let them divide us? How about we don't let them play any cards except the America One card? Oh, there is a new TV station called One America. and it's a right-wing station, and they have the secret handshake. You put your hand under your armpit, and you raise your elbow up and down. Yeah. Let's see. We're going to play an Irish tune, but you could make it an American tune. Instead of Ireland, call it Our Land.
We have late-breaking news that we're going to open this show.
I can't do that one. That's a tribute to Mike Savage. He got banned in England. He got thrown out. He's not allowed to go to England because he's a terrorist. Yeah, but they let in guys that cut up British soldiers coming out of the barracks. Unbelievable, man. Yeah, workplace violence. And we still haven't hung Major Hassan. Now, how come? What, are we afraid of Taliban retaliation? Yeah. Well, to show you I'm fair and impartial, I'm going to give you an Arabic tune.
I'm not afraid.
The name of that singer is Amaro Diab. He's from Egypt. He is the Michael Jackson of Egypt. The girls all go crazy about him. And so do the guys like his songs too. And I just wanted to show you that there is a little bit of civilization left. I think that the best way to solve, if you really want peace in the Middle East, everybody's got to go Christian. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Put down that cutting knife. I'm looking at a picture, and it says citizenship for Latinos, 11 million. And 11 millones. America, yes, citizens. Time is now. Reform immigration. This is not immigration. This is citizenship for 11 million. Let me tell you something. If you think it's 11 million, I just want you to go out in the street tomorrow and count the number of Mexicans you see. I count 11 million in New York. Yeah. You know how many million there are? Come on, let's get real. How many Mexicans have you seen? Right? Go to Home Depot. You'll see a bunch of them. Go to the supermercado. You'll see a bunch of them. Listen, I'm not against hurting anybody, but the government is playing for votes here. They want to buy 11 million votes with legislation that only benefits one party. And it's not 11 million that they're going to legalize. It's 30 million. There's at least a 30 million illegal aliens in here in this country. So, dear conservative, the Democrats are moving today to force John Boehner to allow a vote on an amnesty bill for illegal aliens, illegal invaders. So far, John Boehner has resisted the calls for the Democrats. I got to tell you, I admire the Mexicans. They're hardworking people. They're hardworking people. They can outwork almost many, many Americans. I'll give you one example. I had a piece of equipment that was like a solid piece of steel, and a guy wanted to buy it from me, and he came to pick it up, and he goes, "Do you have any help?" I said, "No." And he goes, "Are there any Mexicans?" And I said, not that I know. And he went outside. He came back. He had one, a short Mexican guy. He could hardly see his head on the counter. And he picked up this piece of steel, which was awkward because it was on an angle, and to balance it was very hard. It was a hydraulic hose compressor, the compressed fittings on hydraulic hoses. And this guy picked it up and walked right out with it. And the guy said to me, there were three guys standing on the corner doing nothing, this one Mexican and two gringos. And I said, anybody here want to work? And only the Mexican said, yeah. So they are good people. But the trouble is the Democrats have allowed them to come in here illegally, and now they want to buy their vote by saying we're the only ones that care about you and the gringo hates you, which is not true at all. I'll tell you why. Being Catholic, they fill up the pews in the church. And they're good parents and they're good family members, except the sad ones that are coming in now are MS-13 and the guys with the tattooed necks. And you know that that's drugs, but they're coming in for the new Obama small business program where you can sell weed. And I just saw an anti-Greenpeace video. And a guy was in the woods, and he says this was all of this was woodland for, and it employed people that in loggers and farmland. He said it was farmland. He says, but now the only crop here is pot. The only crop here is pot. And everybody's gone. The churches are gone. The people are gone. Yeah, so let's see what he says here. we have been able to keep Baena and other rhinos within the party to dissuade them from handing this country over to illegal aliens. All that can change today. The Democrats are planning to push through a discharge petition today that will force Boehner to hold a vote on H.R. 15, the House immigration bill modeled off the abomination that came out of the Senate last year. This is not a joke or an exaggeration. If the Democrats can convince 16 more rhinos in Congress to come on board with their immigration reform bill, then amnesty really could be the law of the land by the end of the month. In order for a discharge petition to be successful, it needs to garner 218 signatures, more than half of the House of Representatives. Then the bill would have to be debated and voted on, whether Boehner wants it or not. There are currently 199 Democrats in the House of Representatives. Nancy Pelosi has made it known that she expects 100% support from her caucus on this discharge petition. There are also three Republican co-sponsors for the amnesty bill that is in question. Representatives, oh boy, Jeff Denham, a Republican from California, Liana Ross Lehtinen, a Republican from Florida, and David Waladao, Republican from California. If we assume that these three Republicans, in name only, will sign the discharge petition, which is to be expected, that means that the Democrats only need to poach 16 other Republicans in order for amnesty to be pushed through. That is not a chance we can take. We need to nip this in the bud before the Democrats are able to whip up the votes to force a vote on their amnesty bill. This is an urgent call to action. I am asking you to please take the time to fax Congress to stop this madness from becoming law. Anyone, and I mean anyone, who plans to go along with this liberal amnesty duplicitous plan must be put on notice that we the people will not tolerate their treachery. It only takes 16 more Republicans to make illegal alien amnesty the law of the land. Tell Congress that this treachery is unacceptable and that any vote for amnesty is political suicide. Yeah, the only thing you can scare them with is their job. We know the stakes. If this bill is allowed to pass and illegal aliens are given citizenship without any real increases to border security, the America that you know and love will be dead. Yes, discharge petitions are seldom used parliamentary maneuvers, but they are not something that can be ignored. In 2002, the Democrats pushed through a discharge petition to get the McCain-Feingold campaign finance reform bill through. They were able to poach 22 Republicans in order to get the bill passed. Russell Feingold is a flag burner and never served this country, and John McCain should wash his hands and body for ever having any contact with this communist rat. Remember, this is the same campaign finance bill that was slapped down by the Supreme Court in Citizens United versus FEC, which served as a catalyst for the current IRS targeting a scandal. There's so much going on under your nose, and you don't have the time to pay any attention to it, and one day you'll wake up like me and find out we lost our country. It is really sad. In order to get this amnesty bill through, Democrats just need to poach 16 more rhinos for their cause. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why would Republicans go along with this plan to commit political suicide? Unfortunately, the question assumes that our representatives are national are rational actors who base their decision-making on logic. That is not what we have in Washington. We have a ruling class of career politicians who answer more to special interests than they do to the will of the people. No lobbies. The only lobby in Washington should be in a hotel. One term per termite. Don't get too comfortable. You're not going to be here that long. This is a government of the people, and the people should be able to rotate the crop. The Democrats are pushing this discharge petition, though, to give the moderate, Reid, traitorous Republicans an opportunity to do the right thing by passing immigration reform. What a load of bull. Don't think that there are 16 so-called Republicans in the House of Representatives who will go along with this treason. That's what they say about the Senate. They said about the Senate and their version of the abominable immigration bill was able to get 14 rhinos to vote yes. There are more than enough liberal Republicans in the House to push this bill through. Wake up, the Democrats and rhinos are conspiring to push through this immigration vote without having to make John Boehner look like the turncoat that he is. The Democrats and liberal Republicans know that after their midterm elections in November, they will lose their opportunity to legally pad the voter rolls with illegal aliens. This is their last chance to give the United States away to these legal alien criminals, and this is your last chance to stop them. So I thought you'd like that. That's your brother-in-arms. His name is Joe Otto, Conservative Daily. Daily Sanity is the blog site. So having said that, we'll sneak out for a tune. A bartender is champagne. I got to find you something hot. I got to get you something good. something caught my eye on Walid Ashubat's blog site, and he titles himself Former Muslim Brotherhood Member, Now Peace Activist. And he's always trying to help Christians because they're being slaughtered in Syria and all around the Middle East. But this is the one that caught my eye. War with Japan is inevitable. Now, I've always said that China is going to go too far and Japan is going to be forced to rearm. And when they rearm, China is in trouble, and so is Russia. But Walid Shubat says, so are we. So his title of this article, or this is by Theodore Shubat, I guess it's his brother, War with Japan is Inevitable. Japan right now is playing the role of a peacemaker, merely worried about the swelling power of China. Oh, I can understand that. For example, just today, Japan agreed to transfer 700 pounds of plutonium to the United States, and this is considered by Fox News to be a victory for Obama's plan to secure nuclear materials around the world. Yeah, he's taking it from our allies. He's getting it from our allies, but Russia's not sending them any. And neither is China, and neither is Iran. This act by Japan is laughable once the entire amount of the country's plutonium is taken into consideration. I told you about this last night. Japan agreed to give 700 pounds of plutonium, enough to potentially make 50 nukes. That is nothing. According to information released by the Atomic Energy Commission of Japan, in 2012, Japan possessed 44.3 tons of plutonium, 9 tons of which were kept within the country, while 35 tons were kept abroad in countries like the UK and France. This is enough of plutonium to create more than 5,000 nuclear bombs. According to Jing Xiaoling, a researcher with the Institute of Japan Studies at Nankai University, this even exceeds the 38 tons of weapons-grade plutonium the U.S. previously claimed to hold. According to some estimates, Japan has the capabilities to produce nuclear weapons within 6 months. It is no wonder why Japan, in April of 2013, refused to sign a joint statement on the non-proliferation of nuclear weapons in Geneva, Switzerland. They don't like the Geneva Convention. Japan giving away 700 pounds of plutonium is merely a show to appear as a nation of peace. And any thought that this is as victory for making the world more peaceful is vague and devoid of all foresight. This month, Shinzo Abe visited the Anne Frank Museum in Amsterdam a little bit after around 265 copies of Anne Frank's diary were ripped apart in 31 libraries in Tokyo. Some people view this as a sign that Abe is a man of peace without intentions of imperialism and war. But why then did Abe visit the Yasukuni Shrine and worship Japanese war criminals who organized the massacres of millions of Asian people? Why did Abe not apologize to the Chinese and Koreans after pompously denying that any women were raped by Imperial Japanese soldiers in these two countries? Abe's visit to the Anne Frank Museum was simply done to look admirable to America and Europe, where the Holocaust is something that is rightfully taken seriously. Abe needs the support of Western nations to face China, but he does not need the favor of China, so he, without any trouble, worships the massacrers of his enemies. And for those of you who don't believe that he actually worships war criminals, the official Yasukuni Shrine website clearly states, Currently, there are more than 2,466,000 divinities are enshrined here at Yasukuni Shrine. These are souls of men who made ultimate sacrifice for their nation since 1853 during national crises, such as the Boshin War, the Seinen War, the Sino-Japanese and Russo-Japanese Wars, World War I, the Manchurian Incident, the China Incident, and the Greater Eastern Asian War, World War II. These people, regardless of their rank or social standing, are considered to be completely equal and worshipped as venerable divinities of Yasukuni. A man who worships war criminals is someone who wants to organize genocides worthy of a war criminal. Just last week, I wrote of the prospect of war between China and Japan is becoming more and more conspicuous under the horizon of humanity's ways. Yeah, I seen it coming and nobody's talking about it. As is expected, many people laugh at the ideal of a revival of Imperial Japan. But in order for such a revival to take place, war must occur. And a Japanese war with China is inevitable. In 2012, Hugh White, professor of strategic studies at Australian National University, declared that war between Japan and China is inevitable. The catalyst of the war will be the pretense of the ownership of Senkaku Islands, with the real reason of the war being a wide range of historical hatreds and disputes. White wrote, "Where will it end? The risk is that without a clear circuit breaker, the escalation will continue until at some point shots are exchanged and a spiral war begins that no one can stop. Neither side could win such a war, and it would be devastating, not just for them, but for the rest of us." According to White, Japan believes that America will stand firm with them in a war against China. America believes that with some political and diplomatic intimidation, China will back down, since they perceive that the Chinese need America to buy their products and thus support their economy. China believes that America will not help Japan on account of the U.S. debt with China. Yeah. There might be a way to get out of paying the bill, huh, Barack? And that America will coerce Japan to make concessions over the disputed Senkaku Islands. Oh, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. And people in Taiwan, you can kiss your butts goodbye because we're not coming for you. They'll reach into an old agreement that says we only have pledged to defend Formosa, and the contract was void when you changed the name to Taiwan. All of these are misconceptions on the part of each of these nations. For Japan, making concessions to China will only mean conceding to a superior nation and that the islands truly belong to the Chinese. For China, to back off in the dispute would be perceived by the Chinese that their nation is only agreeing to be in a position of inferiority to the U.S. and Japan. For the U.S. to not side with Japan over concerns of the debt with China would only indicate that America is afraid of the Chinese, and thus, to a certain extent, inferior to the Asian country. In these circumstances, use the words of White, great powers have often gone to war over. As I have written before, Japan's prime minister is working to change the constitution to gradually purge it of its pacifist prohibitions. Well, this guy's got a long article. I basically said that, let me read you a little bit more. Last year, the U.S. flew two military aircrafts over the disputed Senkaku Islands without letting China know, going contrary to the order of the Chinese. Yeah, it's going to be something small that gets us all started. You know, it was only two bullets that started World War I and all of the millions who died that followed. Two bullets in a carriage with a man and a woman in it, and that was it. World War I. And we ended up going. Any comments here? Let's see if anybody makes sense. The world can be pretty scary. I chuckled when I saw the news report implying Obama's great success. Disheartening to see world leaders taking part in Islamic prayers. I hope something brings about a leadership change in Japan. Japan has a lot of pride, and they do not back down. And they are the master of the first strike. I lived in Japan for 7 years and spent time in China. The Chinese are stirring the pot, not only with the Senkaku Islands, but demanding more apologies and money for war crimes that happened during World War II. Korea is stirring that pot as well. Abe's troop to Yasukuni Shrine didn't help relations, and Abe has a big mouth. So yes, the war is Asia, will come to be a replay of World War II. And Marcos Aguirre says, I don't think Japan will follow this path, although I agree with Theodore in this case right here and now. I hope the Japanese people will come back to its senses and put someone better in power. However, as I said, sometimes I love the Bible, so let's go to it again. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. Daniel 11:44. We'll jump back to a tune. You're not going to back the Japanese down. And pride, they have a lot of pride, and they can't allow anybody to push them around. And China is getting a little bellicose.
From the table up at Birdland to the place where Dizzy dwells, in the beards and the funny hats they love so well, all the boppers are assembled, and when they're really high, they constitute a weird personnel. All the riffs these cats are playing are crazy, cool, and gone like this. Ooly-oo, Scooby-Goo, Ooby-Dooby-Dooby, Oop-Op-Me-Doppin' like that. So let them beat their brains out till their flatted fifths are gone, and they'll pass and be forgotten like the rest. Yes, they're poor little cats who have lost their way. Ba 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 ba. But every wrong note that they play is a gem. So Lord have mercy on every one of them, for they
Bye-bye. We'll check the blogs from Patriot Update. Let's see what the first one is. Why won't the White House release a State Department report on Saudi Arabia's hate-filled textbooks? I hate to say it, but one day the Saudis are going to have to pay for 9-1-1. All those people came from there. And what goes around comes around. It's karma. I don't believe in karma, but I do believe in what goes around comes around. Hangover Part 4. Secret Service agent sent home for drinking. What does the guy do with the commander? He looks down on the floor to the guy that's laying there. Says, you have to go home now. And now this guy's got to go home to his wife. Say, oh, you're home early. How come? Yeah, the pub has no beer. We're in trouble, man. We're in trouble. Obama's populist pitch fizzles. He's fizzling all around. Here's a report. Great majority of illegal immigrants immune from deportation due to Obama's priorities. Keep them here until the election is over in 2016. If you like your Obamacare deadline, you can keep it. Open the floodgates. Indiana becomes the first state to scrap Communist Core. Get rid of that crap right now. It's time to start Return to Sender. You have to get an Elvis song. Return to Sender. Address unknown. No such number, no such phone. Take that Communist Core and stick it where the sun don't shine. I don't know if you're at an angle. Pin drop, Obama lawyer stuns at the Supreme Court. Oh, yeah? You want to read about that? How about Texas begins training school marshals to protect their children? And Hobby Lobby gets their day in court. Pin drop, Obama lawyer stuns the Supreme Court. In a dramatic moment at the Supreme Court a Tuesday, Solicitor General Donald Verrilli told justices that U.S. business owners have no religious freedom to reject government mandates forcing them to cover abortions. Check it out. 4,700 kids a day. Planned Parenthood kills 3,000 a day. 1,200 white babies, 1,100 black babies, 700 Latino niños. We couldn't save one. Well, how are you going to answer to God for that? Well, I never had an abortion, but you let it happen in your country, didn't you? You couldn't reach out and help somebody? You couldn't stop it? You couldn't vote to overturn it? Well, it was none of my business. Yes, okay. Next. Justice and lawyers are sparred over whether businesses actually have religious freedom. I think it was a crime that they made that baker bake that cake that was against his religion. Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't put a Star of David in his window. Justice and lawyers have sparred over whether justices and lawyers, they're all lawyers, whether business actually have religious freedom or whether striking down the Obamacare mandate makes women second-class citizens. Oh, how they get you, man. They pull on your heartstrings and then they eat your heart out. The notable abortion exchange between Verrilli and Justice Anthony Kennedy came during oral arguments in Sebelius versus Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood Specialties versus Sebelius. Two cases linked by the company's owners objecting to Department of Health and Human Services. Yes, it's very healthy to kill your baby. It's a good thing you're doing. It's human. Requiring that businesses fully cover the contraception cost for their employees. Yes, do you have to, and do you need some extra money? Do you need something for the scalpel? Do you need anything for the forceps? Do you want a kit? Should we order Hobby Lobby to make abortion kits? That mandate includes coverage of abortifacient drugs, also known as the morning after pill. You know what? I'm going to come out with a competing drug. It's going to be a rubber hammer, and it's called the evening before pill, and you hit yourself in the head with it until you go to sleep. Yeah, the Family Research Council Senior Fellow for Legal Studies, Kathy Roos, was in the gallery during oral arguments and said, "That was the most remarkable moment in the court session today. Imagine if you could accuse and present evidence of a political Democrats only who have committed child murder, and you can and you call witnesses. You had the ability to recall the witnesses to the crime. Want to hear what the comments were? You gotta love a group of people who insist others pay for their transgressions." That's right, man. You gotta pay. I'm up to $800 a day in dope, and I got a bill, and you gotta pay it. And if you don't pay it, I'm gonna go to rehab, and then you'll pay it, and they'll give me methadone, and I'll sell the methadone for heroin, and then I'll be back in rehab, and then you'll be paying my funeral expenses, and it's all your fault. Yeah, I don't want any of my tax dollars to go to someone's abortion. No. What gets me of all these people is stand outside prisons protesting the execution of a murderer. We'll never go to an abortion clinic and protest the execution of the innocent. Well, what was his crime? He was a baby. Was he a crybaby? No, he was very quiet. He was very silent. He only stirred in the womb. Yes. Well, thank God they can't hang them. I think for the first time, they do hang them. They do hang them. Yeah. Do you see in England that they're using them to make heat in hospitals? They throw the babies in the ovens? Yeah. I wonder if they learned that. I think for the first time in history, the company that the Supreme Court is totally worthless. I grew up enamored with the Supreme Court. Those learned men who were protecting the Constitution. I don't see that now. I see a circus. Yeah, it's not a circuit court. It's a circus court. I don't see that. And the court has been stacked by politicians. One term per termite should be the job. Oh, well, he's very learned. Well, good. Now let's replace him with somebody who's very learned. And when we get finished with him, we'll replace him with somebody who's very learned. But he ain't going to sit up there and kill kids for his whole career. No one should be able to contradict someone's religion or religious beliefs, no matter how evil or atheist you are. Lynn McCran says, "It is then the secular belief there is that is to substitute for those holding religious beliefs. Then I might argue it's a violation of the First Amendment since it establishes a contradiction to the religious stance, a pseudo-government doctrine comparable to an imposed religious belief if taken to the actual point of argument." Can't you stay simple, lady? It's killing kids. The guy's against killing kids. What more do you need to know? Why debate it? You want to see what's in the bucket? You need proof? Go to any chop shop and ask to see what's in the bucket for the day. Hope for the rope. The Constitution is now available in 2-ply. Thanks to the wiper Barack Obama and the Supremes. All our freedoms are under attack. Why should religious freedom be exempt? They have to destroy religion. Stalin did it. Stalin said, that's how you do it. And they're listening to Stalin. The end of our great republic is on the horizon. I feared my grandchildren would see an end of our way of life. Sadly, I'm afraid I'll get to see it myself. Isn't that sad? The legacy we're leaving our grandchildren. And you know what? Your grandchildren may not be so lucky. They may be going to extermination camps. Today they kill them in the womb. Tomorrow they may kill them up to 6 years old. We can blame ourselves for electing millionaires to run our country. They are all suspect. I don't. But two people that we don't need in Washington: millionaires and lawyers. Well, who's going to write the bills? Somebody that can speak in plain talk. You shouldn't have to hire a lawyer to read something that another lawyer wrote. Wrong. Join the cause and get armed. Obama is the greatest gun salesman in history, selling 73 million guns from 2008 to mid-2013. If you give up, all the children will be enslaved in a socialist country. And there's a lot of talk about the FEMA camps will become holding camps for people that cannot be converted to communism. And never know anything about government control. The next generation will live in camps and be told what their freedom was through Radio Free America. Get armed and know your weapon and use it. The revolt is already happening in New York, Connecticut, and company gun owners will not comply. The black market and underground will soon follow. You know who's going to be selling all the guns here? The Chinese and the Russians. Everybody will have an AK-47. Being a millionaire isn't the problem. The problem is we don't elect Christians. There you go. There's Jenna. Yeah. Comrade Jenna. And this guy goes, what are Christians? Then you must not be one. No, I take that back. You ain't one. Like Michael Savage said, our fate depends on Anthony's mood the day he writes his judgment. Very sad. We the people are just bystanding onlookers while the nine robes of power decide what is to be done with us. You know what you got to do? You want to see how it could end up? I think the name of the movie is The Wind That Shakes the Barley. The Wind That Shakes the Barley. It's about the Irish trying to get rid of the British. And that's what we'll end up being. We'll end up being IRA members. And it won't have anything to do with your income tax return. Yeah, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. We got a minute and 59 seconds. And I'm going to play a Latino march. Yeah, march back across the border, boys. That's our show, folks. Have a nice night.